Please welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ja wee viva cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace how, go vegan. From the left coast of the unlabeled, genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial corporation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mockracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA. Home of Uncle Sam, Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and yes, we are in the midst of organizing what is probably the most important gathering ever in Southern California, perhaps in the world. You know, you look at what people consider to be important, you know, all of these climate change summits where, you know, people agree on nothing and then their strategies are, you know, yell about divesting stock from oil companies. And I mean, nobody has the solution except the World Vegan Summit and Expo starting in Los Angeles this coming Friday at the Marina Del Rey Marriott. I don't think there's been a more impressive gathering of speakers ever. I suggest you take a look at the schedule at worldvegansummit.com, and here you will find the answers. And you know, we're challenging, you know, LA goes vegan this weekend, and have a lot of the attention of the media coming there, and we're really gathering to strategize on how we can help everybody go vegan as quickly as possible. This is the vegan movement for the animals. That's what's happening next weekend. We hope you'll join us. You know, there are many challenges to organizing an event such as this. I'm multitasking now and emailing people right now and texting. Should I pay any attention to this radio show today? I don't know if I have time. The event coming up so quickly. I mean, you know, there are so many details, and it takes so much time and energy, and the fundraising. It's all just so challenging, you know. Of course, then I consider the plight of all the animals destined to become food or clothing or used in experiments or entertainment, and wouldn't they trade with me in a second for all the problems, all the headaches of organizing an event? And this is on their behalf, and we hope you can make it there. You know, for example, we have ticket prices now that range from $15 to $350, and it's a costly endeavor to be able to acquire the facility, the Marina Del Rey Marriott, so we can all gather there and you know, share our thoughts. And we are sharing thoughts with some of the world's greatest thinkers and movers and shakers, university professors and health professionals and social justice activists and great athletes. The best athletes in the world will be there. Nobody in LA has ever done what the athletes at the World Vegan Summit and Expo have done. Nobody has achieved, for example, oh, just a couple of vegans in their 60s, right? So Jeanette Wakelin Murray and Alan Murray in their 60s. She healed herself, she says, of breast cancer with a raw vegan diet. They're in their 60s, and this couple of vegans goes out and runs a marathon every day for 366 consecutive days. Nobody in LA has ever done that. The world's greatest athletes ever will be at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. We You know, this is the one, if you care about animals at all, you need to be here. And if you care about the environment at all, you need to be here. Animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change. It produces at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. We have such an impressive environmental speaker there, Helen Harwat from Loma Linda University. She'll talk about that. And Lauren Kaur talking about water. I mean, this, you know, these are the problems that the world, the greatest problems in the world, water. I mean, don't you think the problems in the Middle East are over water also? I mean, that's seems to be a one of the necessities over which we will go to war. I, as a vegan, need 10,000 gallons to grow my food in a year, and a flesh eater needs 320,000 gallons. How do we share the earth, right, when 32 people can be fed to the same amount of water that one meat eater uses? So later on in the program, we have Cindy Sheehan. I was a guest on her podcast yesterday, Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, which I've posted today on Facebook, Go Vegan Radio and the World Vegan Summit and my Bob Linden pages. And you can listen to that interview on the connection between peace and veganism. We'll hear about that on Friday afternoon with Will Tuttle, this coming Friday. Will Tuttle, author of the Amazon number one bestseller, The World Peace Diet. He talks Friday afternoon. We have an amazing reception coming up this Friday evening. Great food. I'll be doing a brief welcoming, and Professor Gary Francione will also speak at the reception. Just to make sure we don't get too depressed about the condition of the animals, you know, we sometimes you have to laugh to stop from crying. So Mike Kaplan will be there. He had a, what was the CD? Vegan Mind Meld. You may have seen his comedy special on Comedy Central. So, and there's just so much going on at this event. And, you know, when I think of all the challenges about it, I think, you know, there's the need to do this. A, because there's no real, I mean, nobody's really just embracing the need to promote the importance of going vegan. You know, World Bank scientists tell us that if there's not a 50 to 85% shift from those of us eating so-called livestock products to vegan by 2020, well, 1,700 U.S. cities face the risk of submersion in the not-too-distant future. So this is about saving the planet, saving your children. Parents need to be at this event. You know, no parent wants to poison his or her child, yet parents, you know, I ran into a guy the other day, a guy who's actually vegan, and he has kids, but he says, well, he has to take them to McDonald's, you know, the pressure that they give him. And you know, parents need to protect their children. They can't take them to McDonald's. Why? It's their responsibility not to put them on the road to heart disease, cancer, stroke, and diabetes, now that we know that. But come out to the World Vegan Summit and Expo and hear from Amanda Benham, who's an accredited dietitian and nutritionist coming all the way from Australia. The least you could do is attend this event. Register worldvegansummit.com, worldvegansummit.com. And we have, as I said, tickets that range from the $15 red ticket, which is admission to the expo, so you can enjoy all of the vegan vendors who were there, the strongboard demonstration, the athleticism, the food demonstrations, and the music going on. So that's a $15 ticket per day, red ticket. You can get it right now at worldvegansummit.com. You can get it for Friday or Saturday or Sunday. And that does not include food. It does not include the speakers in the California Ballroom. For that, you need the yellow ticket, the daily yellow ticket, or the orange ticket, or the green ticket. So it's like green like kale, orange like citrus. We're going to be having a lot of citrus, like veganic citrus, at this event. You know, we're really looking to the future and even talking about veganic agriculture, which is above organic because no animal products are used in the growing process. And Saturday morning, Arlo Taves, a veganic farmer and vegan grocery pioneer, will be talking to us about veganic growing. So, organic, you can still have manure and feathers and blood and bone and... And that's the high standard, but we're going to talk about that at the event also. We just talk about so many subjects. Our Mighty May, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, will be there talking about healthy vegan dogs and cats. Another veterinarian, Dr. Lester Friedlander, who is a former USDA meat inspector. Well, now he's vegan, and he's going to talk about the permanent condition of contamination. I don't know, people, what's been going on at Foster Farms is, it's unavoidable. The production of carcass and secretion for consumption is a rather filthy business, as Vaidya Priyanka will tell us. She, from the 700-year lineage of Ayurvedic women healers from India, she tells us dairy is filth. Lester Friedlander also he's not impressed with Temple Grandin either. See Temple Grandin, who seems to be the hero of some animal rights activists. And that's a part of the reason why we have to have this event also, because there's been a major detour on the way to veganism. There's always somebody who'll come along who wants to make a buck, who will tell you what you want to hear. Like Dr. Fatkins, right? He comes along with the Fatkins diet and tells you, eat all the meat you want, and lose weight. Well, of course, you lose weight. You stop eating when you fall on your face with a heart attack, right? So people always want to take your money and tell you what you want to hear, right? So talk a little bit more about that. Hey, Dr. Milton Mills coming up. He'll be speaking at Soul Food for Thought next Saturday evening at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Cindy Sheehan also today on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and a couple of Bob Linden, extraneous Bob Linden Facebook pages. Why are they there? I just needed to have clones of myself. I need clones of myself right now, working on the World Vegan Summit and Expo. But, luckily... as there's so much to do, but luckily Julie Curran Meskel is helping, and Michelle Tung, and Ben Brayman, and Mark Schulman. So the reason that we are also having this event is what's being sold now to people as animal advocacy really represents their betrayal, and we need to differentiate, that they are not we. When they are promoting Meatless Mondays and creating the highest egg sales in 30 years as a result, they are not we. When they're talking about humane, so-called humane meat and grass-fed and cage-free and, let's face it, we need to get to the point here where Yeah, and in our advocacy, I mean, I don't know, we have to get over the timidity of asking people to go the full measure, you know, to say like, hey, you need to go vegan, you know, not one day a week, you know, but like 7 days a week, you know, 8 days a week. But then with Meatless Monday, you're not even asking people to go vegan, you're asking them to go meatless, and they interpret that to mean, oh, I'll have dairy and eggs. Okay, great. I think we'll also be differentiating at this event between vegetarianism or you know, going vegetarian and going vegan, as the word vegetarian has been hijacked by the dairy and egg industries, as has the animal rights movement, actually, if you really think about it. H-Eggs-U-Eggs, leading the animal rights movement, partnering with United Egg Producers, and bringing along its cronies, Mercy for Animals and Farm Sanctuary and Farm and Compassion Over Killing, all involved with activities and policies so detrimental to animals that we have to take a stand and get together next week and say, you know, let's do it for the animals. They're not products. They're not things. They're not to be eaten or worn. Let's just help people recognize that, you know. I mean, so that's the idea behind this. And, you know, this the vegan movement for the animals actually tastes pretty good. So, I mean, come out. There'll be great food. You do need to register right away if you've waited to the last minute. This is the last minute now. I can't imagine why anybody would want to miss this gathering. If you just go to worldvegansummit.com and check the schedule, check the activities, there has not been a gathering like this ever. I'm reminded that Alan Watts, popular philosopher on the Pacifica Radio Network, KPFK in Los Angeles, years ago said that he and his philosopher friends all wanted to get together for a gathering because they knew things were so wrong. And poll after poll taken in the U.S., people say, you know, we're really going in the wrong direction. Things are so wrong. But people don't know what the right direction is. Well, hello, World Vegan Summit and Expo. We're here to serve you. We're not here to serve animals. We're here to serve you and the planet and the children. And you can find out why. I mean, if you're vegan curious, please, and everybody's vegan curious. I mean, we're beyond Beyonce at this point. I mean, everybody's vegan curious. And all you have to do is be one now, to live vegan. Talking to Cindy Sheehan, you know, if you're really for peace, you know, you live the life of peace, right? If you love animals, you live the life of loving animals. And if you're an environmentalist, how can you participate in what causes the most destruction on the planet? So come out and share a great time. You do have to register now at worldvegansummit.com. We're figuring out the final food plans. And as I said, there's the $15 ticket admission to the expo. And then the yellow day pass that gets you food and admission to the California Ballroom. And the orange gets you into the California Ballroom and food, as does the green. And we have Soul Food for Thought. And it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We'll continue. It's goveganradio.com. Register at worldvegansummit.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com. On Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook. And we are looking forward to next weekend's. Yes, it's coming up that quickly. Next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, March 20th, 21st, and 22nd at the Marina Del Rey Marriott, the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And we will be there for all the reasons to go vegan and looking at all aspects of veganism and community outreach. And we'll have a Cesar Chavez birthday party on Sunday, celebrating his birthday. We have some of his family members coming to the event. He was vegan. And we have a Spanish language presentation next Sunday afternoon from Sofia Pineda Ochoa, 45-minute presentation in Spanish. She is a medical doctor, and we'll talk about all the reasons to go vegan too. And we have one of our favorite medical doctors right now on the line, taking a break from his work. I mean, here's somebody who really cares about community health and his patients, Dr. Milton Mills, who practices at Fairfax Hospital in Virginia and free clinics around the Washington, D.C. area, and is really a very much in-demand speaker on health issues. And welcome to the program, Dr. Mills. How are you today?
Thank you. Hey, how are you doing, Dr. Broken? It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you here, and it will be great to have you at dinner next Saturday night. Soul Food for Thought, starting at 7:30 at the Marina del Rey Marriott.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Can you hear me well?
Yes. Yes, we hear you. We hear you better than a lot of people with whom I. Yeah. So we're doing fine. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. It's just a tad low, but I can hear you pretty well.
Okay, that's good. You're in the hospital now, or is that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, yeah, that explains cell phones in hospitals and all. So tell us a little bit about what you might be discussing coming up on Saturday night at the Marina del Rey Marriott, the World Vegan Summit and Expo.
Sure. My kind of area of expertise, if you will, has to do with the linkage between the way we eat and live and the results of those practices that show up as chronic diseases. And it's been well known for, you know, quite a while that, you know, many ethnic minority groups in the United States, particularly African Americans, tend to have higher rates of chronic diseases. And once these diseases develop, they are more devastating in our communities, causing more disability, premature death, and so on. And this stems from the fact that we really are not adapted to eat this sort of high-fat animal food diet that we've inherited from the European tradition. Now, let me just hasten to say that that diet really isn't good for anyone, because it definitely has been shown to promote chronic disease in all ethnic groups, including Caucasian Americans. But it also is more devastating and debilitating in ethnic minority groups.
Mm-hmm. And yet it seems that the government programs seem to force those foods on people, right? I mean, and you were...
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, as you know, your listeners may not, a few years ago, I worked with PCRM. We published a two-part paper called Addressing the Racial Bias in the United States Dietary Guidelines. And essentially, the U.S. dietary guidelines are put out every 7 to 10 years, and they're revised and updated. And, you know, one would think, as I naively did when I first participated in the process, that the, you know, primary and preeminent purpose of the dietary guidelines would be to encourage optimal health amongst Americans, and to instruct Americans on how to eat to promote the best health. But as it turns out, the process is, you know, politically poisoned from start to finish. And there is so much industry lobbying and input into what the final dietary guidelines are designed to be that what comes out is not necessarily what's best for our overall health. And because of the influence of, you know, agribusiness and animal food-based agriculturalists, the dietary guidelines have traditionally encouraged the consumption of large amounts of animal food, like meat and dairy, which research suggests actually is not healthy for us, but the government continues to encourage the consumption of these foods simply because of the influence of industry lobbyists. And as I said, we know that these foods are not good for anyone, but that they're particularly destructive in communities of color, where you often have a concomitant problem of poor access, or, you know, certainly more difficult access to health care and resources, such that the net result is that the U.S. dietary guidelines actually promote excess disease and suffering in communities of color. And the government is well aware of that, but they continue to cave in to industry lobbyists at the expense of Americans of color.
Mm. And so it would seem that we have to educate communities of color, but of course they have all the money, so, you know, the milk mustache becomes kind of the milk mustache becomes kind of a sales tool, right? You know, I mean, it's...
A very sad and disgusting one, because I've seen so many prominent, African-American artists and athletes in these milk mustache commercials. But I am nearly 100% sure that they don't drink milk themselves, because 73% of African Americans are profoundly lactose intolerant, including me. If I were to drink a glass of milk within 2 hours, I would be very sick with the cramping, the bloating, the abdominal pain, and diarrhea associated with lactose intolerance. So it really pains me to see these people lending their celebrity to promoting foods that are completely inappropriate for people in the African-American and other minority communities. And all the while, the so-called health benefits that are touted for eating dairy products simply don't exist. Dairy products don't protect your bones. They don't give you any extra energy, but they do raise your risk for a variety of different kinds of cancer, including breast, ovary, uterine, and prostate cancer. They raise the risk for type 1 diabetes in children, and cause a number of other health problems. So, in fact, we should be avoiding these foods and not, you know, seeking to increase the consumption of them.
Mm. And it seems that people treat lactose intolerance like it's a disease, like, oh, I have to overcome it by popping a lactate or something, when actually it's really sort of a normal condition. You should be lactose intolerant,
right?
Shouldn't you? And not
lactose. That's absolutely right, Bob. You know, lactose is a sugar in milk that's designed for infant mammals. And once you're no longer an infant mammal, you shouldn't be drinking any kind of milk, least of all the milk of a different species. So the majority of people around the world, the majority of animals, of mammalian animals around the world, producing the enzyme that allows them to digest lactose once they are no longer infants. The interesting thing that has happened in human beings is that in populations such as Northern European populations, where dairy foods came to be a prominent part of the diet, we have seen over the last, say, 4,000 years, the gradual selection for people who continue to produce the lactase enzyme throughout their life, so that they are able to actually digest dairy foods. But that is not the norm. That is definitely the exception for most humans.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Milton Mills, MD. He will be speaking at the World Vegan Summit and Expo He'll be at Soul Food for Thought, the Saturday evening dinner, along with Dr. Antenna Roba, Babette Davis, who's the owner of Stuff I Eat Vegan Restaurant. Seba Johnson will be there, Olympic athlete, vegan since birth. Kenneth G. Williams, vegan champion bodybuilder. And we're just going to have a great time and discuss these issues. Blaze Mob, great reggae band, will be there. And so Dr. Mills is an MD, so it's rare to hear an MD talk about nutrition, but that's part of your work, your consultation. So what sort of results do you see? Do you, you have people coming to you and they say, okay, well, let's do it your way. What do you see happen?
Well, I've seen some tremendous success on a number of different fronts. I mean, the sort of the backstory of that paper on racial bias in the U.S. dietary guidelines grew out of experiences that I was having in my outpatient clinic, where I would have African American patients coming in and complaining that, oh, doc, I have irritable bowel syndrome, or I have a spastic colon. And, you know, after I talk with them and take a careful history, it was clear to me that they were continuing to include dairy foods in their diet, and I was pretty sure that the symptoms they were having were not, in fact, related to problems with their colon, but simply because they were eating foods that they shouldn't be eating. So I would have these patients do a two-week trial of
Dr. Mills, I don't know. Can you stay with us? Can you stay with us a few more minutes, or do you have to get back to work?
Sure.
Okay, we have a break. We'll continue talking to Dr. Milton Mills, speaking next weekend at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Register at worldvegansummit.com. With Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook. We are broadcasting live Sundays from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., syndicated by the Genesis Communications Network. We're talking to Dr. Milton Mills. He's one of the illustrious speakers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, happening this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Marina Del Rey Marriott, when LA goes vegan. And we bring to the attention of everyone that pretty much everything that's wrong in the world is because people eat meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. It's just so wrong. And Dr. Mills, actually, in terms of eating meat, dairy, fish, and eggs being so wrong, I think some of your studies in the past have looked at physiology, how, you know, our physiology just isn't right for the consumption of animal products and secretions. We're nothing like carnivorous animals.
Well, no, that's absolutely true. I've worked extensively researching the issues of human, mammalian gastrointestinal design and physiology, and you do see three distinct patterns within mammals. You know, they're the strict carnivores, like cats and most of the canids, which include wolves, foxes, and so forth. And then you see the extreme herbivores, which are, the ruminants like bison, antelope, and cattle have the multiple stomachs because they eat plant food that has very little intrinsic nutrient value and a lot of cellulose. But then you see within the herbivores, or the plant eaters, a group that are complete herbivores, but they don't have four stomachs. They have a simple stomach and a very long intestinal tract and a physiology that's designed to handle plant foods. And And that would include most of your large primates, horses, zebras, and humans, and other mid-sized herbivores like rabbits and so on. And the third pattern that you see are the omnivores. And these are animals that are truly designed to eat both, eat primarily animal foods, but they can also process some plant foods. And, excuse me, this would be like your bears and raccoons. And the difference between a true by-design omnivore like a bear and a raccoon and a human is that the bears and raccoons are anatomically and physiologically adapted to be able to both procure and consume animal food and some very soft plant food without suffering any consequences. Humans, on the other hand, do not have those adaptations. And while we are behavioral omnivores, meaning that we choose to include animal food in our diet, we really are not physiologically adapted to do so. And that's why when we do eat these foods, they cause disease.
Mm. So we are herbivores gone wrong. I mean, we...
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yes, so. We're delinquent.
Okay, well, we need to set that straight, so we'll work on that next weekend. I know you have to go back to work there. You're at work right now, so...
This is true.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and people can get their tickets now and hang out with Dr. Mills, and he'll be giving a great presentation Saturday evening at Soul Food for Thought. So thank you, Dr. Mills. Thanks for being with us today, and we look forward to seeing you in person in Los Angeles this coming
weekend. My pleasure, Bob. I'll be there with bells on.
Okay, fantastic. So thanks so much. So see you then.
All right, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye. So join us. Price is Right. If you want to attend the World Vegan Summit and Expo Saturday, there's a day pass. It's costs less than some Disney passes for the day, and the yellow pass, the Saturday yellow pass, will get you to see Dr. Mills, get you into Soul Food for Thought, all the food that day, all the California ballroom speakers. Everything, okay? Okay, we'll continue. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Register now. Get your tickets at worldvegansummit.com. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, Twitter at GoVeganRadio, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and the clone Bob Linden pages, and the World Vegan Summit and Expo page on Facebook, and WorldVeganSummit.com. It's coming up next weekend. I can't believe it's here already. I could use another month or two to work on planning it, but here it comes, and we're doing it, and it's starting Friday, and we hope that you will be there with us, like the good people who are with Nature's Flavors. They're supportive. They're going to have a booth there. You'll be able to try their wonderful new organic sodas. And, they have the largest selection of essential oils, organic. Go to naturesflavors.com. They will ship them to you. Check out what's there. Gluten-free baking. Look at all these delicious-looking baking mixes. The apple cake and banana bread and blueberry muffins and those coming from Nature's Flavors. So check them out. And there are flavors there. You buy bottles of water flavored with who knows what, and here you can get organic flavors and just put a drop in the water and have the flavor you want. So anyway, naturesflavors.com. We'll be drinking select coffee and select tea the mornings of our event, the World Vegan Summit and Expo. And we will be enjoying lunch next Sunday with my next guest. And really, I look at how the speakers at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, and it's practically a parade of heroes, really. I mean, you look at what people are doing, the Keith McHenrys of the world, feeding vegan food to the homeless, and just check out who's there. But Cindy Sheehan will be having lunch with us next Sunday. Cindy, the Peace Mom, check out her website, CindySheehansSoapbox.com, and she was kind enough to have me on the program yesterday to talk about the event. How are you today, Cindy?
Well, Bob, I broke one of my toes today.
Oh, no.
I'm wobbling around, and I'm trying to, I mean, no, I'm leaving for Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, so I'm wondering how that's going to go. But
What happened?
Just being a klutz.
Okay.
So anyway, it's
amazing how important you forget about toes until you hurt one, and then it's like, right. Whoa, toes, you know? So,
I guess so.
Yeah.
And I'm leaving for D.C., and there's always a lot of walking involved, but I'm trying to hitch piggyback rides or something.
So who's what's happening in Washington, D.C.? Tell us why you're going there.
Well, for the last like 5 or 6 months, I've been organizing an event that we're calling Spring Rising, an anti-war intervention in D.C. And it's been quite a while since a lot of us have gathered there to just protest the wars and the empire. And so, and I've been trying to do it, of course, for the last 6 or 7 years since Obama's been president. But I think many of the people who sort of left the movement when a Democrat became president are also becoming very distressed, disappointed, upset about the expanding wars. And so we've gotten a really good response to Spring Rising, and we're having 4 days of, events and marches and protests and teach-ins, and we've gotten probably like 5 or 6 dozen organizations to sponsor and to endorse, and it's been the best response to anything that I've tried to do against the wars since Obama's been president. So we're very excited about it. And it's at springrising.org if people want to go and find out our schedule of events and look at more information and maybe donate some money so I can rent a scooter when I'm in Washington, D.C. I can't believe I did that. It's awful.
That's springrising.org. And, I'm almost afraid to say, like, you're protesting against which war or wars, you know? I mean, there always seem to be so many, so I don't even know, you know? And we seem to, I don't know, it seems like enemies, there seems to be a pattern of creating enemies,
right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yep, exactly. And so we're going to be in Washington, D.C., or like I like to call it, washed up D.C. We're going to be there right around when Congress is debating and perhaps we'll be voting on giving Obama authorization for even more war. And so it just, we have to show our faces. We have to be there, and we have to tell the rest of the world that not everybody in this country is a horrible warmongering meat eater. Some of us are for peace and justice for all the creatures. And so, I mean, it's just time that we did it. It's time that the people who protested this stuff when Bush was president, grow us out of principles and come out and join us.
I protested this stuff when Johnson and Nixon were president.
I wasn't old enough. I was only like in elementary school.
Okay.
So that was happening.
I was in high school, and it was the Vietnam War, and we got up and marched out of our class and closed down the Long Island Expressway. And the concept to me was, I was almost draft age, and obviously concerned about that. And I was looking at it like, well, I'm going to be sent across the world to try to kill somebody. Like, I don't really have anything against that person, you know? I mean, like, I couldn't understand the concept of, like, what's my animosity? Why would I go across the world to kill somebody or be killed? I was a little concerned about that, too. It's... there's a war machine here, you know. I think that's it's just profit upon profit, and you know, how do you fight that? I mean, that's our greatest financial institution seems to be the war machine, isn't it?
Well, it is big business, and back in between World War I and World War II, Major General Smedley Darlington Butler, retired, called it a racket. He wrote that famous treatise called War is a Racket, and he said it's the oldest, most profitable racket. And it, you know, unfortunately, you were back there in the 60s, 70s, people have been protesting these. They've been, you know, I know some people who were draft resistors during World War II. I mean, so it's been going on. Wars have been going on forever. Opposition to wars have been going on forever. But why does the war still go on? You know, it's just, I'm going to do an interview tomorrow, and the lady, one of the questions she's going to ask me is, what is the alternative?
Going vegan.
The alternative is just to bomb people, you know?
What's your alternative to bombing people?
Right. What's the alternative? I can think of almost...
Well, I suggest going vegan. I suggest going vegan, and then see how that sets in with everyone. You know, if we all go vegan, maybe we wouldn't just have that, you know, that desire to, we wouldn't be so constipated and wanting to drop missiles or something. I don't know
definitely we've talked about it before, and I think that with all of the violence in meat production and all of the, you know, all of the hormones and everything else that meat's filled up, I think it really harms people who eat a lot of meat. I think it changes their personality or something. It's not just a physical thing, but I think it's also a psychic thing or something like that.
Sure, because we're ingesting their terror. You know, they're terrorized, right? They're terrorized. Right. They're beheaded. You know what I mean? You are what you eat. So what do we see? We see terror and beheadings. And it's like, hey, that's your diet, you know? I mean, like, you are what you eat. So,
exactly.
You know. And then we talked on your program yesterday about water. I mean, that's a good source of conflict right there. And in the Middle East, and, you know, these issues get hidden, but I'm sure there have always been the Palestinian-Israeli issues concerning water. I think in Syria there's been a drought, you know, and we just can't keep using up water to raise animals when we wouldn't need so much water to raise vegan foods that grow from the earth. So
I was flabbergasted. You told me to raise 1 pound of beef takes 8,400 gallons of water.
Yeah,
what you said yesterday?
Yes. Well, I said no. You're misunderstanding. It's 8,500 gallons. So, and that's from the Stockholm International Water Institute. It's not some cow kisser who, you know, wants
that's
to like
incredible.
People to.
Incredible.
Is it eight? I know. Yeah,
I go to get a pounder of hamburger somewhere, and that costs 8,500 gallons of water.
According to the Stockholm International Water Institute, yes,
that is
And then to consider that amount again, it's like, okay, get a gallon jug, fill it with a gallon, and then pour it down the drain, waste it every day for, I think it's about 22 years, every day for 22 years. That's your pound of beef, to give you heart disease and cancer and stroke and diabetes and to destroy the environment. One pound.
That's just for 1 pound. How many pounds on a cow?
Right. So yeah, I don't know.
And so how many gallons for a whole cow?
Well, how many gallons, per person who eats a pound? What does a person eat? About 200 pounds of meat a year or something, So, the numbers, we talked about also that same Stockholm International Water Institute said a vegan needs 10,000 gallons of water to grow his or her food, and a meat eater needs 320,000 gallons of water. So, you, Cindy Sheehan, saved 310,000 gallons of water just by eating your healthy foods last year. And or if we want to share the world, 32 Cindy Sheehans ate, eat, and or one meat eater eats, with that water allocation. Okay, we need to take a break. We will continue with Cindy Sheehan on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Oh, Cindy is a speaker next week at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. Please get a ticket. Get a yellow ticket for Sunday. Join us for lunch. WorldVeganSummit.com. We continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio. Please register now for the World Vegan Summit and Expo. The last minute has arrived, if you've been waiting for that. And check out the schedule at WorldVeganSummit.com. You will want to be there. This is just something you can't miss. There's never been a gathering quite like this. And look at the heroic figures there, including Cindy Sheehan, who is a national treasure. She is a peace activist, peace mom, who made the ultimate sacrifice that a mother can make. Her son was lost in the lost his life in the Iraq War, and she had the courage to ask why. And you remember she camped out outside the Bush residence in Texas and got world attention, and she just keeps on going. And what drives you? Somebody would ask, like, don't you get burnt out? What drives you to keep on going with your activism?
Well, Bob, I would imagine it's the same thing that drives you. I mean, love for humanity, love for the creatures of the world. I mean, I guess if everybody stopped eating meat and went vegan, you could stop. But, the wars are still going on. They're still raging. People are still dying. I have... since my son was killed in Iraq, I have 5 grandchildren now, and I just look at them and think of all the millions of children around the world and other innocent people in the path of our war machine and the empire, and I just can't stand it. And so if there comes a day when war is obsolete and people finally realize that it's barbarism and that we should stop killing each other, or we should stop letting the 1% use us as pawns to kill each other, then, maybe I can retire. But, unfortunately, I don't see that day coming real soon. But it seems like we said, people have been working at this for decades, centuries, the wars still happen. But I think it'd be worse off if people didn't try. If we didn't do our activism,
And we are hopeful. We're hopeful that we'll,
absolutely.
Yeah, Yeah, we're hopeful that we can end war and end consumption of animals. The war on animals, that 176 billion animals are farmed for food every year. I mean, that's gotta be some bad karma. 176 billion. Then on top of that, those who aren't farmed and the others. So it's really really horrendous. And Cindy Sheehan has seen the light. She's a vegan peace activist, because that's the life you have to live if you're a peace activist, basically, right?
Well, I think that I try to be authentic in every way. I don't pay my taxes to income taxes to the federal government. Because I really don't have that much income anymore. But B, because I oppose what they go for. And I made a decision a long time ago that if it came to it, I'd rather go to prison than give a penny to something that's going to kill somebody or maim somebody or, destroy the environment. So I just really try to live a very authentic life as close to my values as possible. I'm not perfect, but, I was a vegan vegetarian before my son was killed. So I read the Robbins guy's book like 25 years ago, and convinced me.
Diet for a New America. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a compelling argument, and you and I, one of our favorite quotes is from Tolstoy, is as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And, there's so much truth to that. So,
you have people can separate animals from, the violence of killing animals and consuming them. I rode my bike across the United States a couple of years ago, and I was the only vegan on the trip. And I asked the people that were with me, I said, so what happens at the end of the world? And would you eat humans if you were hungry? Because to me, eating a hamburger or chicken or whatever is the same thing. And they really thought about it. And they said, yeah, we probably would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are a strange creature. The herbivore gone wrong. So, we're out of time, Cindy. So, we will see you, though. We'll see you next Saturday for lunch at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. So, everybody buy tickets and go to Cindy Sheehan's soapbox.com. Thanks, Cindy. We'll see you next weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks. Register now. Summit and Expo page on Facebook and worldvegansummit.com, where you can register now. It's the last minute. If you were waiting till the last minute to get in on the action, the time has come. I could use another couple of months of preparation, Professor Francione. It's amazing that it is upon us, and so many details and so little time. Gary Francione, who will be there saying hello on Friday night at the reception, and then Saturday morning, an introduction to the abolitionist approach with Anna Charlton, and then the grassroots vegan workshops both days. Also saying hi to the people with the Expo tickets, the bleacher tickets. Can check out the tickets right now. They range from $15 for a daily Expo red level ticket to $350, which covers all 3 days and all the meals and the reception and the Soul Food for Thought dinner and everything, the whole shebang. So how are you this week, Professor Francione?
I'm fine, and Anna Charlton here is with me here, and we've been working all day on our presentations. I'm doing a PowerPoint presentation, Bob. I've only done one of those in my entire life. This is my second one. And this one's going to be better than my first one. My first one looked rather horrible. This is actually shaping up nicely, I must say.
Ah, very good. I'm going to have to ask people questions like, I have to ask, like, do you have your own dongle? I'm forgetting what the tech guy said. It's like I have to check people's dongles or something.
Bob. Bob. I mean, we can't talk about that on a radio show.
Okay.
Yes, I'm bringing a memory stick, and what we need is a computer to. I assume that the hotel can provide all this sort of stuff, right?
Well, we're using a professional sound company who's worked with us in the past. So we will be using an outside sound company, an outside tech company.
As long as they have a computer that I can put the dongle into, I can put the stick into, then I can do my PowerPoint presentation. But we've been working on it diligently all day. And as a matter of fact, a few minutes ago, Anna was saying... I bet you Bob's having a lot of fun right now. And
thank you for sympathy.
Yes, the week before a conference like this is really maddening.
Oh, yeah. You feel like you have to multitask, like a million things at once, It's just like such a juggling act.
It'll be worth it. It'll be excellent.
Yes.
It's going to be excellent, Bob.
Yes.
Let me tell you. We're going to. I want to give you a preview. I'm not going to tell you much now, but I'm going to tell you that we're going to make an announcement at one of our workshops, which are actually going to be sort of interesting for people. But one of the things where Sandra Cummings is going to be coming, and she is going to be announcing a project that Anna and I have been working on with Vincent Kahane and Mariana Gonzalez. And we're going to be announcing that at the conference. I think it's an exciting project. I hope other people will think it's an exciting project. And our feelings will be really very hurt if they don't think it's But it's going to be I think an interesting conference. And we're going to have some really interesting discussions. I'm already getting emails from people who are going to attend. Who find their way to the Rutgers website and figure out how to contact me directly, and they've been asking me questions already, and we haven't even started the conference, Bob. And so this is really going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be a terrific event, and I encourage anybody who wants to come who isn't yet registered to register and come, because I think this is going to be worth it for everyone. I think it's going to be we're going to reset the priorities, and we're going to get it back to animal rights. That's what we need to do. We need to get things back to animal rights. We need to get away from this industry that has developed in the past 15, 20 years, where we've got a partnership between animal groups and institutional exploiters. It's dreadful. I assume you saw, Bob, the big press release the big announcement from Paul Shapiro of HSUS that it was huge news that Aramark is going from liquid eggs to cage-free eggs. This is huge news. And, in doing some research on this, I actually was stunned. And you got to go pretty far to stun me. But I actually was stunned to find out that HSUS gave Aramark, which is a big food company, serves all sorts of animal products. Actually, they're on the Rutgers campus, so I know them well. And they gave Aramark the Henry Spira Award 2 years ago. This is the audacity of these animal groups saying, "Well, we're not promoting animal exploitation." You sure as hell are when you're giving awards to Aramark. and you're saying, huge news, wonderful, look what they're doing. They're going from liquid eggs to cage-free eggs. I mean, it is just appalling. But this is one of the things we're going to talk about at the conference. Okay, now, how can this make sense? If we have an animal rights movement, then this is obscenity. And we just
Right. Well, that's the animal exploitation industry leading the animal rights movement. I mean, it's been completely hijacked. And
I mean, basically, what you've got is you've got animal exploiters, some of whom are actually working, you know, and producing the animal products, and you know, some of whom are on the sidelines cheering them on, and that's the animal movement. That's what the animal movement has become.
Well, you know, I think it's really more than that because of the interview, a segment I played a few weeks back from the president of the American Egg Board, who says that when HSUS has clients who want cage-free eggs, they come to him and he supplies them. So, I mean, how much more can you be a part of the, you know, how are you not part of the industry when HSUS has clients? So presumably, you know what, Aramark is a client of HSUS, and HSUS is like, or HXUX is like a middleman in this, really. I mean, that's what egg guy said, right? So
yeah, and that's no yoke. I'm sorry, that was a bit.
Sorry.
So look, I mean, the reality is that's exactly what's happening, is that the animal rights movement, or what used to be called the animal rights movement, has become basically an arm or an appendage of the animal exploitation industry. It's been going on for decades now. I mean, it's been going on ever since the concept of animal rights emerged. It was whittled down by the animal welfare groups, appropriated by the animal welfare groups, and now it's gotten so ridiculous that we have animal groups that are actually involved in promoting animal exploitation, all the while saying, oh, we're really abolitionists. No, you aren't really abolitionists. Well, we really want to see the end of animal exploitation. That's like saying, I want to see the end of war, but I've got to make war to get to peace. You know, I'm a peacenik. I want to be a peacenik. You know, I'm a peacenik, and I believe in peace, but I think we have to use war to get to peace. That's how absurd it is. That's a perfect analogy. You know, that... Now, if you like peace but you promote war, you can't call to get to peace. You're not a peacenik. You're not someone who embraces peace and nonviolence. Similarly, somebody who says, "Oh, I really want to see the end of animal exploitation, but I promote animal exploitation," is like saying, "Well, you know, I'd like to see the end of all things bad, and I'd like everything to be like lollipops and puppies, but in the meantime, I'm going to promote animal exploitation," and you know that's just crazy. I mean, it's just crazy. But I think that's one of the things we're going to talk a lot about at the summit, and I think it's going to be, you know, what I hope will be a main focus in terms of the presentations and in the discussions that will be going on. One of the things that are great about those sorts of conferences is not just the presentations that are really informative and educational for people. It's the things that go on, the conversations that go on, you know, in that hotel throughout that weekend. There will be hundreds, if not thousands, of them. And those things, you know, can have a profound effect on people. So.
Right. I mean, it's like, how have we gotten so far off course where people who think they're in an animal movement still have allegiance to this corporation that hands out dollar off coupons for bacon packages, you know, and now, I mean, it gets added on and on and on. And now for Paul Shapiro to be cheering for cage-free eggs, like that it's insanity. It's truly insanity. And, you know, somebody sent me, they wanted me to be aware of this. There's a place called Heart to Heart Farms in Oregon, and so they had me, you know, look at the Facebook page and all. And I see how groups like HSUS and Mercy for Animals and Farms, how they've all enabled this to where they have like this. Their livestock transport truck is it says grow, build, prosper, love, connect, inspire. You know what I mean? Like it's such propaganda. The love is the biggest word on a truck that transports animals to their death, and their services include castration, by the way. But this is Heart to Heart farms, you know? I mean, it reminds me of like when there was this ad campaign in Los Angeles for milk. It was like, La Familia, Leche y Amor, you know? Like, family, milk, and love, you know? It's all so misleading, you know? Who can tell what the truth is anymore? Well, come to the World Vegan Summit and Expo.
You mentioned mercy for animals. Somebody sent me a video this week that I had not seen before. A talk that was given by Mr. Runkel of MFA, in which he basically says, "Well, you know, I would rather, you know, for me, the ethical decision is to eat the carrot rather than the animal." But not everybody agrees with me.
We hear the music, so we'll have to start the Nathan Runkel story again after we take a break. We'll continue with Professor Francione and Professor Charlton, who will both be out there at the World Vegan Summit and Expo. So register now at worldvegansummit.com. Still some tickets left. Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at GoVeganRadio, GoVeganRadio with Bob Linden on Facebook, and WorldVeganSummit.com, where you can register, get in your last-minute ticket buying. Ticket prices range from $15 to $350 and lots in between. So check out what's right for you. There's not much time. Buy your tickets now. Thanks for support for the event. From Vegetarian House Vegan Restaurant in San Jose, vegetarianhouse.us, 520 East Santa Clara Street. Vegetarian House caters, so if you have an event happening in the Bay Area, business event, social event, you're getting married, you want the food to really be great and everybody to love it, it's Vegetarian House. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. And at the World Vegan Summit and Expo, you will say hi to Greenlight Meals, greenlitemeals.com. They take away your excuse that I can't be vegan because I'm here in the middle of Mississippi or wherever you are, because they deliver wherever you are in the U.S. of A. So check out greenlightmeals.com.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Does Greenlight Meals, like literally, if you're in the middle of Mississippi,
yeah,
and you Greenlight Meals?
Mm-hmm. That's a vegan meal delivery service.
Do they have people all over the country who prepare the vegan meals?
No, it's sent. It's shipped. But it's shipped.
Oh, I see. You don't get it immediately. You can't call up at like 6 o'clock and have it at your house by 6:30.
Oh, I think you've just created our new business when we're done with the...
all right. Very good.
It's Gary and Bob's lentil and rice delivery service. So... And why
the abolitionist
not?
Vegan shack, we can call it.
Yeah, man.
Speaking of Nathan Runkel, you know, Bob, here's a statement he made. This is a YouTube video. We have a transcript of it. Now, we certainly think a vegan diet is, in most situations, the most ethical, compassionate, environmentally friendly choice we can make.
Oh, laugh track.
We hold that as the gold standard. Now, can you imagine this guy who's heading up an animal, what he wants to call an animal rights organization. We certainly think that a vegan diet is, in most situations, the most...
Unbelievable. Ethical. Unbelievable.
That's, you know... Okay. here we go. Is a cow that lived her entire life on the pasture and then was killed on a farm better than a factory farm? Absolutely, it's better. Do I think we should be killing the cow rather than eating carrots? Probably carrots would be a better choice for me ethically. Let me repeat that just in case people fell off their chair and have fallen on the floor.
It's a little confusing.
Probably carrots would be a better choice for me ethically. You know, if I don't have to take a life and be violent, probably wouldn't. But there are people, probably would. But there are people that just don't share that belief. And I think for them, doing again as little harm and as much good as possible is really what we should be looking at. And certainly, whether you're a diehard meat eater or a vegan, we can all probably agree this factory farm system just doesn't fall into line with what is ethical for us. I mean, this is a guy. I mean,
Can you imagine a social movement? I mean, look, the animal rights movement or the animal movement is not a social movement at all. I mean, it's a joke. And, I mean, it's a pathetic joke. I mean, listen to what this guy's saying. I mean, can you imagine somebody in the civil rights movement saying, well, you know, for me, equality, you know, is probably a better
choice.
You know, not everybody, you know, falls in line with that. So I think, you know, you got to, like, you know, maybe we'll have racist-free, you know, racist joke-free Monday, or maybe on Mondays we won't, like, use racist epithets at people. So, like, you know, we can all get down with that. I mean, it's
fine. Right. I mean, that's not our movement, and it's a shame that that's upon whom the animals depend and people look to, you know, for counseling on what's right about animal issues. I mean, that's really incredible.
But the good thing is that you've made clear, Bob, that people don't have to look to them for counseling. And this weekend we're going to get the show back on the road.
Yep.
In terms of its proper direction.
We've been derailed. You know, we're herbivores gone wrong, and we're going to set things right here. So
that's right.
And you know what? We're going to get people so excited. They're going to demand that you do this again next year, Bob.
Oh, please.
And the year after that. This is going to be a yearly event for you, Bob. I can see it happening.
Okay, well, we need a few more people to buy tickets and a few more vendors, and we're set. So we're working on that this week, and a yearly thing. See, I thought after this I would create Radio Bobby, you know, just music like I used to do in my real life and my professional radio career, and have, you know, a little vegan vegan advertising, vegan sponsorship. That could be next. So we'll see. A yearly
see
event.
Friday,
okay.
Bob.
See you on Friday. Okay. See everyone on Friday. Register now. WorldVeganSummit.com. Don't miss it. You really want to be here.